Firms like to be politically connected because it makes it easier for them to do business. But what's the impact for the rest of us? Welcome to Vox Talks, a series of conversations with the world's leading economists. My name is Tim Phillips. A new discussion paper from the CEPR called Connecting to Power examines the relationship between firms, political connections, and outcomes like innovation and productivity. And you won't be surprised to learn that when firms prioritise political connections, it's probably not good for the economy. Ufuk Akçiğit of the University of Chicago is one of the authors, and he joins us today to shine a light on this murky area of business. Ufuk, welcome to Vox Talks.
Hello, Tim.
Now, the study you did here focuses on businesses in Italy. Why did you choose this country in particular?
Well, first, there is ample anecdotal evidence for the link between political power and corporate sector in Italy. Perhaps the largest manifestation of this presumption was the historical episode of Money Pulite, which is the Clean Hands operation, which took place in late 90s. And it was a huge political scandal, which eventually uncovered a dense network of corruption, bribery, etc. Second reason is that Italy has experienced a massive productivity slowdown since late 90s, and this is quite a puzzle for both economists and policymakers, and we thought that probably political connections could shed some light on this productivity slowdown. And third, and maybe most importantly, to conduct a rigorous study on this subject, you need really detailed micro-level data on firms and politicians, and Italian economy provided us with that.
To do this, you created your own data set, didn't you? So what's in it? How easy was it to get hold of and join it all up?
Well, it was quite a challenge. but interestingly, nowadays, there's a very productive conversation happening in Italy about the need for research-based policymaking, which I find quite valuable. Originated by this conversation, the Italian Social Security Administration opened its microdata for economic research. And with the help of the Social Security Administration, we managed to merge five different data sets. So the first data that we used was obviously the Social Security data. This is pretty much every person in the Italian economy for whom there is Social Security contribution, and we are able to observe for which company they are working, how much labor income they are earning from their company, and this is the core data set. Then we wanted to understand how market power affects political connection and innovation dynamics, etc. So that's why we also merge firm balance sheet data on top of this. So this is the second data. The third data set that we merge, which is probably the most interesting one, is the registry of local politicians. So these people are either mayors, vice mayors, or council members in some municipalities. And here we are talking about more than 500,000 local politicians. So this is another data set we merged on top of the Social Security data. And since we wanted to understand how market power is related to innovation dynamics, we also merged the European patent data on top of this. And finally, in order to identify things a bit more causally, we also merged the data on local elections. So here we are able to identify which party won by what margin in which municipality. So these are the five different data sets we put together. But I should mention that all the data handling was done by the Social Security Administration, so it was totally confidential and preserved full anonymity. And given the sensitivity, of course, of the subject, so we had this fantastic, amazing data set for our research.
Given this data set, your research then has to investigate the impact of political connections. And that seems to me a very hard thing to measure in data. How do you define if a firm is politically connected?
Well, excellent question. One thing that I should emphasize before I go into details is that here we are talking about really low-key local politicians. And this is the distinctive feature of our analysis relative to most of the existing literature that looks at high-profile connections, such as parliament members, etc. The reason this is important is that, first, it's much more common and much harder to detect. And importantly, local politicians hold extensive power. Among many things, they provide local public goods and services, they issue various permits and licenses, and they are responsible for majority of the administrative burden faced by the private firms in Italy. So that's why it is really key to understand how local politicians and their connections to firms is affecting business dynamics. Now, how do we define political connection? So remember that we are focusing on local politicians, and being a local politician is a part-time job. So these people have to make some money. And that's why, while they're holding a seat in the municipality, these people also work for a company at the same time. So they are on the payroll of a firm. So we are able to see which active politician is currently working for which company. And the way we are defining political connection is obvious. If a firm in this year is also employing a currently active politician, that's how we define politically connected firm.
That's interesting. So if we start at that individual level, does a politician employee earn the same as other people in the company who are doing equivalent jobs?
Politicians are probably not any random worker that you would observe in a firm. Probably these people are more socially skilled. They have more distinctive features in general. So that's why probably it should not be a big surprise if I tell you that on average, we observe a significant wage premium for politicians. So average politician earns 10% more than a comparable worker in the same company. However, what's interesting here is that this wage premium that the politician earns is increasing in the political power of the politician. So how do we proxy for political power? We are able to look at the hierarchy within a municipality. So some people are mayors or vice mayors, and some people are just council members in a municipality. So that's one way of ranking politicians. The second way of ranking is we can look at the geographical power of these politicians. So the Italian economy consists of 8,000 municipalities, which are contained in 110 provinces, which are themselves contained in 20 regions. So then we can also look at these geographical ranking or hierarchy. And interestingly, what we observe is that if a politician's power increases both within municipality or geographically, the wage premium increases very, very significantly, both for male and female politicians. We also looked at the wage change within a politician. Let's say there's a worker in a company who is not a politician initially and works for a company for some time, and there's an upcoming election, and after that election, the worker becomes a politician for the first time. Now, an interesting question is, what happens to the wage premium of that worker relative to before he or she was a politician? And interestingly, what we find is that first, before the election, the wage premium is just flat. There's not much change. But suddenly we start a massive rise in the wage premium of the politician upon becoming an active politician after the election.
Also, looking at it from the firm's end, the politically connected firms do better in many ways, don't they?
Actually, they do. But before we go into details, let me make a big picture analysis here. So political connections could be good or it could be bad. So before we started with the project, we didn't want to take any positive or negative stand on this. And we just wanted to understand this through the lens of the data. Mm-hmm. So political connections could be good. Why? Because there's a lot of red tape and bureaucratic burden that the firms have to get around. And most of them are unnecessary and they slow down economic activity. So as a result, probably being politically connected is speeding up the business activities by greasing the wheels. Alternatively, they might also be helpful in passing the relevant regulations for new technologies. For instance, when Uber comes to a city, you have to justify to a policymaker that this is good for citizens. And as a result, maybe political connections is good for economic activity in general. But political connection could also be bad, because if it's being used for anti-competitive reasons, such as trying to eliminate the rivals in the market and competitors, in that case, political connection could be bad. So let's call the former model pro-competitive and the latter model as anti-competitive. Mm-hmm. Now, if we think about firm dynamics, it should not be surprising to see in both scenarios firm size to grow. If I'm using my political connections for productive reasons, then I should become more productive, hire more workers, create more jobs. So as a result, political connections, if they are for good reasons, they should also make my firm grow in employment. But if I'm using my political connections for anti-competitive purposes to eliminate my rivals, for instance, in that case, all my rivals, once they eliminate it, all their resources will be freed up. The workers that they used to hire will be freed up, and now I can hire them cheaper. In both pro-competitive and anti-competitive model, employment growth should be faster for politically connected firms, and this is exactly what we observe in the data. So politically connected firms, on average, grow 3 to 4 percentage points faster relative to non-connected firms. But what's interesting is, if political connection is used for pro-competitive purposes, in that case, this should be associated with productivity growth as well. So a firm that's politically connected should also grow faster in productivity. But if I'm using my connection to eliminate competition in the market, in that case, I will not grow in productivity. So looking at the productivity growth is informing us about where these political connections go. And what we see is quite interesting. We see that politically connected firms grow faster in employment, but they don't grow faster in productivity at all, which suggests that anti-competitive model is more in action.
So we're saying that when these firms become market leaders or grow larger, they are less innovative than their competitors.
That's right. So we did the following interesting exercise. We looked at each market, and here when I say market, it is year times sector times region, meaning that in a given year, in a given region, in a given sector, we look at the largest 20 firms. And we'd ask, if a firm is becoming the dominant market leader in that particular market among those 20 firms, what happens to the innovation intensity of that firm and politician intensity of this firm? When I say intensity, this is the number of patents that the firm produces relative to firm size and the number of politicians that the firm hires relative to the firm size. So if a dominant market leader is trying to innovate more and more, we should see an increase in innovation intensity. But we observe the exact opposite. As the firm is becoming the dominant market leader, innovation intensity is just decreasing very sharply, whereas the politician intensity is increasing as the firm is becoming the dominant market leader. And this very visible cross that we observe is what we call leadership paradox in the paper. And that again suggests that indeed it's more the anti-competitive model that's in action.
Now, I suspect that this probably isn't good news at the whole economy level. So how bad is this problem? Can we put a number on it?
As I mentioned in the beginning, Italy has been experiencing very slow dynamics at the aggregate level. Indeed, the productivity numbers have been flat for quite some time, and there are a lot of indicators that the business dynamism is slowing down in the Italian economy. So what are the key indicators for business dynamism? Well, one of them is new firm creation, entry rates into markets. And we see that indeed in those industries where political connections are widespread, the entry rate is much slower. So just to give you a number on this, if we go from the least politically connected market to highest politically connected market, the entry rate decreases by about 3 to 4 percentage points, which is quite sizable decrease in the annual entry rate. Given that this is also on average the entry rate into a market, we see that indeed political connections is able to explain the complete reduction in entry rate.
Were you able to establish with confidence that political connections cause these outcomes? Because I could see that there might be another interpretation that it's the other way around.
That's an excellent point. Indeed, most of the results that I mentioned up to this point are some very interesting correlations. In order to come up with the ultimate conclusion, we need to be confident about the causality going from political connection to firm moment. So this is not an easy task. So what we did is we focused on local elections, and we identified elections that have been decided on a very thin margin. Just to give you an idea, there are two parties competing in a given municipality, and the winning party wins by a small margin, and the losing party loses by a small margin. Then does it matter that if my firm is attached to the winning party versus losing party? And indeed, in a healthy economy, if everything is decided based on a merit, what should just matter is the quality of my business idea, and nothing else should matter. Whether I'm on a winning, close to the winning party or losing party or any other individual characteristics should not matter. So what we did is the following. Let's say there's an election in year 2000. 1 year before the election, we identified the composition of the firms, whether a firm is close to party A or party B. And then there's an election in year 2000, and let's say the winning party, say in this example, party A, wins by a tiny margin, and party B loses by a tiny margin. Now, given that we had already identified the firms as being close to party A or party B, now we can compare firms who are close to the winning party and who are close to the losing party. In a healthy economy, the election outcome should not matter for business dynamics here, because the election outcome, the reason we are focusing on this tiny margin is that the election is determined by a random accident. Maybe the emails were leaked or some random events happened just before the election. What we find is quite interesting. Even when an election is determined by a random event, the firm dynamics differ vastly after the election. Being close to the winning party gives you a huge edge over your competitors. Firms are growing much faster compared to the firms that are on the losing side. Second, when we look at the exit rate of firms, the firms that are close to the opposition party are much more likely to exit after the election. This gives us confidence that indeed most of the findings that we had in the beginning of the project are indeed causal. The political identity or the political connection of the firm does affect firm dynamics.
And yet, as you point out, these close links between firms and politicians, they're a fact of life in every industry and country. Many of our listeners will be recognizing the picture that you paint. So can policymakers, and many of those are employed by politicians, do anything about this?
Well, we have to see where these political connections emerge. And when we look at the data more carefully, indeed, we find that political connections are much more widespread in those industries that are heavily regulated. So as a result, these type of dynamics emerge mostly due to two reasons. First, the existence of red tape and heavy regulations make firms investigate alternative routes to gain some edge over their competitors. Second, political connection is asymmetrically distributed in the economy. So some business owners are closer to the politician network and some are not. So the existence of heavy regulations and the asymmetric distribution of political power is giving rise to these type of dynamics. The obvious policy conclusion is that in the absence of these heavy regulations, these dynamics would not have emerged at the first place. Therefore, policymakers should put a lot of effort to eliminate bureaucratic burden to ease economic activity and competition in the market.
Ulfa, thank you very much.
Thank you, Tim.
By the way, do you have any plans to extend this research, to do it for any more countries or for different ways in which political power is used?
When we look at cross-country data, we see slowdown in business dynamism in many, many countries. There have been a lot of articles that were written also about the US economy and many other European countries. And this also corresponds to a time horizon where lobbying activities has been increasing tremendously. So I would be surprised if our findings applies only to the Italian economy. Indeed, I think our findings are much more general, and our next step in our research agenda is to investigate these issues also in other countries and also conduct a quantitative investigation to put exact numbers on how big are the impacts of this political connection on the overall productivity slowdown.
I'm sure a lot of people will be looking out for that, and if there's more work comes out of it, we'll have you back on Vox Talks to talk about it.
Thank you, Tim.
Meanwhile, if you want to read more about this, there's a lot of information in the paper we haven't had time to talk about. And the paper is CEPR Discussion Paper 13216. Its full title is Connecting to Power, Political Connections, Innovation and Firm Dynamics. The authors are Ufo, along with Salome Baslanze and Francesca Lotti. This has been a Vox Talk from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. There are new episodes every Friday from your podcast provider, or look up the archive at voxeu.org/vox-talks.